Hello, welcome everyone to the Arc of Wrestling. We're back after another hiatus. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined as always by Steve Cook. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, how's it going, Mr. Lambert? That's your name, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Been a little bit, so.
It has been. I was in Jamaica doing as the Jamaicans do, which means...
You were Jamaican people crazy. Uh-huh, right? I know.
I was smoking a lot of weed is what I was doing in Jamaica.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
It's legal in Jamaica. I wasn't doing anything illegal.
Okay. Use your head.
You're allowed to have 2 ounces of weed on you in Jamaica that you can smoke.
Now, it's 2 ounces a lot because I don't have a slice. I am not a partaker of the marijuana. So if Dustin James was here, you could probably tell me. Is 2 ounces like a lot?
It's a fair amount. Like, I mean, it's nothing outrageous, but, you know, it's enough to get you through the day. How about that?
Okay.
So, yeah, you're allowed to do that. So I was in Jamaica, and then I got sick, and now you're battling a sore throat. But I make you work when you're sick. I don't have to work when I'm sick, but you do.
I work all the time.
I know you do.
As you can find out if you surf thechairshot.com for my many great articles on things like Braun Strowman's tag team partners.
Who was your number one choice?
The Big Hog.
I hope it's him.
I hope. It's probably not going to be.
It's probably not going to be.
I mean, everybody thinks it's going to be Elias, but I don't know. Why would... They're not friends.
Yeah. I hope it's Ellsworth. I think that would be great. Or it's just Strowman. His tag team partner is These Hands.
I would also like to see The Undertaker be Braun Strowman's tag team partner, just to see your reaction from John Cena.
I still maintain John Cena's facing Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania.
I would love to see Undertaker do that just to see the reaction from Cena backstage. Like, what the fuck?
We will have a WrestleMania preview next week as the card gets fine. I'm not sure this is the final card yet. Shane McMahon just got the diverticulitis, and apparently he's okay to wrestle in 12 days.
That's because Shane McMahon is like 10 times the man Brock Lesnar is, and you knew that because he's a McMahon.
That's true. He did survive a plane crash. I'd like to see Brock Lesnar survive that.
Brock Lesnar wouldn't get on a plane.
Well, we are here to talk about one certain man who will be at WrestleMania, making his return to where it all started, actually. One Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan got cleared for competition last week. He will wrestle again at WrestleMania in New Orleans, where our arc ends, but that's next week, because our arc begins at SummerSlam in 2013.
Yes.
The main event of the show, Daniel Bryan against John Cena. This match was set up because John Cena got to handpick his opponent for his WWE title match, and he picked Daniel Bryan, who was starting to win over the crowds with his fighting spirit.
Yes.
And there was some nonsense with Brad Maddox in there that no one cares about. But anyway, Triple H.
Whoa, Brad Maddox. There's a blast in the past.
Yeah, one Brad Maddox.
What's he up to now?
Leaking internet videos the last I checked.
Does he have any more?
He was in Glow, wasn't he?
No, Alex Riley was in Glow.
Alex Riley, whatever, they're the same person.
Well, pretty much.
Brad Maddox had been doing some screwy referee stuff, and Vince McMahon wanted Maddox to essentially screw over Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan's face was not fit to be the face of the company. And the authoritative stopper Triple H came out and said, we're going to have this referee call it right down the middle, and I'm going to be the referee. You know, things aren't going to end well when Triple H is the referee.
No, things rarely end well with anybody anybody related to the McMahon family as a referee. I mean, we've discussed Shane McMahon's officiating before, and certainly Vince is not exactly known for his officiating prowess, and quite frankly, neither is Triple H.
No, they're all incompetent.
Incompetent, they're evil, they're corrupt. You know, any Donald Trump description you want to throw out there, that's what they are.
So our main event is John Cena against Daniel Bryan, and they have a hell of a matchup here. I rewatched this last night. Bryan got so much from John Cena. John Cena's a willing man at SummerSlam as long as he's not facing Baron Corbin. Otherwise, he's giving all he can out there. And Bryan got a lot in this match. He got to kick out of the AA, which at the time meant a lot more than it does now. The match went about 27 minutes, and Bryan won clean as a sheet. He hit him with the running knee, and Cena did the job. And the story of this match was Cena had a big old baseball in his elbow. Fitting, his opening day is tomorrow, but Cena had a big old baseball in his elbow, and he was scheduled to miss like 6 months, and he's John Cena, so he missed like two.
Of course.
So they needed a new face as Cena was riding off to the sunset here for surgery. And Daniel Bryan was supposed to be the face of the company. He was going to carry the company into the fall. And he got his big title win, and they did confetti and pyro. And the fans
wanted to see.
He thanked his parents and everything. And who should come out but Randall Orton?
Oh, him.
He had the money in the bank. And he teased cashing it in on Bryan. And then he walked away. And then Bryan led the yes chant. And then Bryan got spun around, kicked, whammed, pedigreed. And then Randy Orton cashed in his money in the bank. And Daniel Bryan's first WWE title reign lasted just as long as Roman Reigns' first WWE title reign.
Daniel Bryan's moment in time could be right here. And a knee to the head by Bryan. Whoa. Daniel Bryan is WWE champion. Is Randy Orton going to ruin Bryan's moment? What the hell?
Orton is the new WWE champion.
Was it the exact same length?
I think Bryan's was actually shorter because Roman Reigns, he got to kick out of the first brogue kick, didn't he? And then then he got hit with another one.
But you also had to sit through Randy Orton's entrance, and you had to sit through a yes chant.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, get John Cena out of there.
It was probably close, honestly, but they didn't make T-shirts that said 525 or however long Bryan's title reign ended up lasting.
Amazing. So I recall watching that way back in the day. Doesn't it feel like 100 years ago at this point?
It feels like when I was looking back to. Sure. To find the matches to start this arc, I really thought it was like 2014 that all this happened, and I was like, geez, it was a year earlier. Like, it really felt like a long time ago.
I remember watching it, and as a longtime Daniel Bryan fan from back in the day, back in Ring of Honor and all that jazz, it was a pretty cool moment. We kind of figured Bryan was going to win because of the whole deal of Cena's elbow and the fact that he'd go away for a couple weeks or however long it ended up being. Was I surprised that they cashed in right then, right there? No, I wasn't. Not really. I don't recall if that had been reported or not. Do you remember if it had been reported or not?
I don't remember if it... From what I recall is they... reading the observers, it sounded like Bryan was supposed to be like the guy, and that Randy Orton's cash in wasn't a big thing. It was always there, but it wasn't like he's definitely cashing in.
Well, you knew Randy Orton wasn't going to wait for like a year like Carmella.
Carmella still has that thing, amazingly.
And still nobody cares, but... Yeah, I mean, to me, and we've had a discussion before about the Money in the Bank briefcase, the whole gimmick, and I am beyond done with it. And, you know, shocking events like this were kind of part of it, to be honest with you. I guess the first time it happened, people liked it, and I'm sure a lot of people liked it times after, but I think at some point you kind of get tired of all the major pay-per-views, like your SummerSlams, your WrestleManias and stuff like that, ending with a briefcase.
Yeah, I think the best one that they did, aside from the early ones, was when Ambrose won it and then cashed in later that night. He's like, I'm not waiting around to hold on to this thing for months.
Ambrose is a smart man.
He is.
He might carry around a briefcase.
Got to check that thing in through customs and shit. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, belt looks a lot cooler.
Yeah. And nothing good ever happens when Triple H just stays in the ring for the celebration. Daniel Bryan should have Shawn Michaels'd him and said, get the fuck out of my ring.
Yeah, you could tell, and that's another thing. When Triple H was staying around for so long, you kind of thought the jig was up. Like, oh, she's going to do something.
Yeah.
Triple H cannot just stand around forever. And then, well, he always stands around forever, but eventually he does something.
And in this case, it was pedigreeing Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. The new face is the old face, and the old face is the new face in the WWE.
Something like that.
Raw the next night, John Cena comes out and he talks about this surgery he has to have on his elbow. And he says, you know, last night was supposed to be a moment where I passed the torch to the new generation. And then Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart were going to come out. He's going to pass the torch. And it was supposed to be a special moment for young Daniel Bryan. And that was taken away by the Authority. And then Stephanie McMahon comes out, and this is when we get the talk of best for business.
Uh-oh. Is that when this started?
Yeah, this is a running theme in this arc that we are covering over the next 2 weeks. Best for business. You're going to hear that a lot.
You'll get real sick of it, too.
Yes. And Stephanie escorts Brian from the ring because it's her ring. I don't know if she's made mention of that recently, but she owns that ring, and she can just have people escorted out of it.
Been brought up once or twice.
Yeah. So Brian gets escorted out of the ring. Later in the night, it's a big championship celebration for Randy Orton. He's had so many of them. I don't know why this one is any more important.
Did Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels get to come out and celebrate?
Randy Orton has his big celebration, and Triple H calls out Daniel Bryan. He was just escorted from the ring earlier. He was still allowed in the building. So Stephanie,
that's good.
At least, yeah. She owns the building as well. Yeah.
And she doesn't own the building.
She does. She's made that comment before. She says, I own this arena.
That can't be factually accurate.
I don't doubt Stephanie McMahon.
I don't think that WWE owns arenas.
Didn't they own Madison Square Garden for a little while?
No.
Okay. Maybe that's just in my TEW game.
I mean, it feels like it because he used to run there once a month and whatnot. But
yeah, and WCW wasn't allowed to run there.
Well, that's a whole different deal with WCW and WWF having exclusive rights to arenas and not letting people run there within a certain time frame. That's a whole different ball of wax for a whole different style of podcast.
Brian is called out by Triple H. Brian makes his way down to the ringside area, and out of nowhere, he is speared by Roman Reigns of the Shield, and Daniel Bryan gets laid out to close the show as Randy Orton and the Shield stand tall.
The Shield.
The Shield. They are Triple H's henchmen at this point. This would turn during our arc, actually, but right now they are Triple H's henchmen.
For now.
Yeah. They go on to face the New Age Outlaws at WrestleMania. Brian on SmackDown, Brian wants his rematch against Randy Orton. There's that old rematch clause, even though he's only the champion for 5 minutes.
Wait, hold on. He tried to enact his rematch clause on SmackDown?
Yeah.
That he should know that wasn't going to work.
Daniel Bryan's a wrestler. He doesn't care when he wrestles. He wants his title back.
They don't have big matches on SmackDown.
Well, they didn't on this night because Randy Orton says, no, you're going to wait until Night of Champions.
There you go.
Then you can get your rematch.
See, that's best for business. He's a smart man.
Bryan ends up facing Wade Barrett in a cage match. Bryan and Wade Barrett had a little bit of beef because in the lead-up to SummerSlam, as Vince McMahon was trying to turn Daniel Bryan into a corporate champion in his image, he wanted Bryan to shave his beard.
And oh, yes, I remember this.
Yeah, Barber Barrett came out to shave the beard of Daniel Bryan, and Bryan turned the tables on him, and Bryan ended up shaving the facial hair of Barrett.
So, I'm telling you, they missed an opportunity with bad news to Barber Barrett.
What a gimmick that would have been.
That could have been. He'd probably still be there cutting people's hair right now if they only didn't run with that.
He would have had a job for life as Bad News Barber Barrett.
Right.
So Bryan and Barrett face in a cage match. Bryan wins, and then Orton comes out and lays him out with an RKO.
He does it a lot.
Yeah, that's going to be a running theme in the lead up to Night of Champions, as you'll see here. There's a lot of running themes, and you can get the gist of WWE booking at this time. Raw, August 26th, Bryan faced The Shield in a gauntlet match. He beat Seth Rollins clean. Seth Rollins ate a lot of pins as a member of The Shield.
Well, somebody had to. One going to be Reigns or Ambrose.
That was his big architect plan.
Remember, they liked Ambrose at that point, remember?
Yeah. That was why was back the architect.
Then, remember back when people thought Dean Ambrose was going to be the breakout performer of The Shield?
He should have been.
Everybody thought so. But no, it's the big dog.
The big dog. Bryan beats Rollins clean, and then he beats Ambrose and Reigns because during the match with Ambrose, Reigns runs in and gets the DQ, and during the match with Reigns, Ambrose runs in and gets the DQ. Hmm. So, a lot of disqualifications here. How do you think this show ended, Steve Cook?
RKO.
Randy Orton lays out Daniel Bryan with an RKO.
Yeah.
SmackDown, Bryan takes on the Ryback.
Whoa!
How do you think this match ended, Steve Cook?
RKO.
A DQ when The Shield interferes. They triple power bomb Daniel Bryan, and Randy Orton grabs spray paint and he spray paints NWO without the W on Bryan's chest.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they brought back that old chestnut.
That sounds like a big time doing right there.
Raw, September 2nd. This is when the Big Show gets introduced to this storyline.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. This fucking guy.
Nothing personal against Big Show, but man, was he just, not welcome in all these proceedings here. This whole time period was just not a good time for Big Show.
No, the Big Show actually tried to help Bryan on the previous SmackDown. And he was chastised by the authority. And then so on Raw, he was forced to face Daniel Bryan. And he had him beat. He squashed the man. He was going for his KO punch, but he didn't want to hit the punch. He felt bad for Bryan. So he didn't. And what happened? But The Shield came out, attacked Bryan. Triple H came out and said, "You're going to hit this man or I'm going to fire you." And so Big Show ends up hitting Bryan with the KO punch, and Randy Orton stands tall once again. This is what about the fifth consecutive show Randy Orton has stood tall over Daniel Bryan.
What a pussy Big Show was there.
SmackDown, we had Bryan against Seth Rollins. Since it was Seth Rollins, this match ended clean and not by DQ. Bryan wins, and how do you think this show ended, Steve Cook?
I'm going to guess RKO.
Randy Orton lays out Daniel Bryan and stands tall once again.
Yeah.
Running theme here. Raw, September 9th, the go-home show to Night of Champions. Daniel Bryan finally gets some revenge,
That's a bad sign.
Yeah. Bryan beats Ambrose in the main event. Orton comes out. He hits him with the RKO. And then Big Show comes out and... yeah. Orton says, "You're going to hit him, pick him up and hit him with the KO punch." And Big Show can't do it. He doesn't want to do it. Triple H comes down and he orders him to do it. And then during all of this, Bryan ends up getting to his feet and knocking Randy Orton with a running knee. So Bryan actually stands tall for once after 4 weeks of getting laid out with the RKO.
Now, was this all... after Big Show had that tremendous, horrible segment where he was crying?
The Big Show cried a lot. You're going to have to be more specific here.
No, the one where Triple H like threatened to fire him and like threatened to kick him out of his house.
This was all, this is
Triple
when Triple
H got foreclosed on his house or whatever.
This is all during that time period.
Big Show's crying. He's knocking out Dusty Rhodes and doing all kinds of weird shit.
Yeah, the Rhodes family was involved. Cody got fired during this time period and stuff. Yeah,
that happened again later on.
It did. Cody should have gone all in 2013.
You wonder why Cody's so bitter these days. Yeah. That's why.
And fired multiple times by that man. Mm-hmm. On SmackDown, Orton got put in the yes lock by Bryan. So Bryan stood tall for two straight shows, which is never a good sign going into the pay-per-view.
It's really not.
Night of Champions, the main event, Randy Orton against Daniel Bryan for the WWE title. Match was fine, a little slow early, but they actually got a lot in quickly. Bryan, great baby fist fire, as you would expect from Daniel Bryan. And we end up getting a ref bump. Scott Armstrong gets taken out, and then another referee comes down. And Bryan gets the yes lock, and then Orton gets to the ropes, and then Scott Armstrong just returns. He's fine. Bryan hits the knee on Orton, and then Scott Armstrong just fast counts for no real reason.
Is that the face of the WWE now?
Yes, yes, yes it is. Daniel Bryan is the new WWE champion.
Wow.
How good must that feel? He had it ripped away from him at SummerSlam.
What a fantastic match. What an unbelievable night of champions. We've seen things that not I thought we'd ever see, including this. What an unbelievable rolling journey Daniel Bryan has been on. Daniel Bryan has defeated the hand-picked face of WWE.
just decided I'm gonna fast count right now. And Bryan wins the title, but they didn't really make a big deal out of it because you could all see how that one was going.
Yeah, yeah.
Match lasted about 17 minutes. It was fine. It was compacted, at least. You know, the longer those Randy Orton matches go, the worse they get, even if it's against Daniel
Bryan.
Even if it's
with Daniel Bryan, that's right.
And then the next night on Raw, y'all know what happened.
I knew it was going to happen.
Triple H comes out and he says, "Bryan, you're not the champion." Bryan is confused. Scott Armstrong comes out and he says, "They got us, Daniel. They figured us out." Like, no shit, they figured it out. You fast counted on purpose. Wasn't that hard to figure out there? So,
well, you know, those Armstrongs, they're a wily bunch.
They are. And so Bryan is stripped of the title. Do you remember who the new champion was, Steve Cook?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. The championship was held in abeyance.
Old abeyance was the champion here. Breaking Ric Flair's record with his 17th title victory, abeyance.
I don't recall them ever using the word abeyance before.
I don't think they did. That's why it was such a, like, this was just their new buzzword that they wanted to throw around.
It's like Triple H or whoever's looking at dictionary.com before the show and is looking at the synonyms and antonyms for vacant. Like, ooh, abeyance. That sounds fun. Let's do that.
Yeah. Well, abeyance is the new champion. And in the main event, Bryan takes on Roman Reigns.
One of the longer reign champions of this whole time period, really, abeyance.
That is true. Abeyance is undefeated against Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Beat him for two WWE titles and an Intercontinental title.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan is your main event. The fans were not as split as they were today.
Yeah, Roman wasn't quite on that level yet at this point.
Yeah. Ended in a DQ because, of course, it did. Orton tried to attack Bryan, and a bunch of baby faces came out. It was a whole hodgepodge of guys. Like Rob Van Dam was there, and R-Truth, and all these other geeks and guys you don't really care about. I think maybe I don't even remember who else was there. Santino might have been there. I'm sure Ziggler and Sandow were there somewhere.
Whatever you talk about people you don't care about.
Yeah. So they all came out to help Daniel Bryan, and they hoisted Daniel Bryan around the ring like he was Lex Luger at SummerSlam.
After he knocked out Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. The Usos were also some guys who were out there, because on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan teamed with the Usos to take on the Shield. Yeah, that was a family feud right there.
Yes. The Daniel Bryan versus Shield match is always fun.
Always great. And in this case, it was good once again. And Daniel Bryan and the Usos won. The Shield not as protected as old Roman Reigns would turn out to be in a year later.
Was that, I'm probably right, was that the first time they lost at the six-man? Because I remember they lost to some random team. It might have been the Usos and somebody.
They had to lose to, like, Brian and Kane and somebody else at some point, didn't they?
I remember being random. I think it was on, like, a random episode of SmackDown.
Oh, maybe it was. So, I don't know. Raw, September 23rd. Bryan is teamed with 10 other people in a 11-on-3 elimination match against the Shield. So, way to get your top baby face over here, teaming him with 10 other guys.
Oh, goodness.
They end up winning the match. I'm not going to recap.
Who's they?
The baby faces. The guys with the 11-on-3 advantage. It actually came down, the Shield eliminated a bunch of the geeks, and Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan were your survivors there. So it did turn out to where the heels had a semi-advantage.
Good times.
SmackDown, Daniel Bryan was not on the show, so it doesn't matter.
No.
And why was Daniel Bryan not on the show on SmackDown, Steve Cook?
Why was he not on the show?
Do you remember?
Oh, I do not.
He had bigger fish to fry. He had things to do over the weekend.
When was this?
2013.
You're going to have to refresh my memory on that.
Daniel Bryan, instead of taking a beating at the hands of Randy Orton and being down on one knee trying to fight back, he was down on one knee to propose to
there we go.
Brie Bella.
Proposal.
Yes.
Definitely more important than getting beat up by the Shield.
That's very true. So Bryan got engaged over the weekend, and on Raw, they used that to... Randy Orton is the king of just inserting females in his storyline that he can antagonize. And on Raw, he went after Brie Bella. He insulted her. And this upset Daniel Bryan, of course, trying to defend his fiance's honor. And it didn't work because he got laid out. poor Daniel Bryan can't even defend his fiance's honor correctly. SmackDown, the Big Show was getting beat up by the Shield and Randy Orton, and Daniel Bryan made the save. So even though the Big Show had been a dick to him, I guess it wasn't his fault. He was forced to do so. Bryan still came down for the save. And this was the go-home show for Battleground 2013. So Battleground, we get another Daniel Bryan-Randy Orton match to win the title. I guess this is a triple threat match with a Bayance in there as well. This match went 25 minutes. It was not a good Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton match. It was one of those where Randy Orton is given too much time, and so he doesn't have the offense to fill that time, so he just does a bunch of fucking headlocks. This match sucked. And everyone knew some nonsense was going to happen. So the near falls weren't even as good as they should have been. Bryan locks in the yes lock. The Big Show comes out. He pulls the referee out. He beats up the ref. He KOs Bryan. Scott Armstrong comes out. He gets KO'd. Randy Orton gets up. He gets KO'd, and the Big Show is your new champion.
Well, the Big Show is not the new champion, but it did kind of feel like that the the thrust of the program kind of shifted at that point. And I just finally, I think I figured out who the Shield's first loss was to, by the way.
Who is it?
It was Daniel Bryan, Kane, and Randy Orton.
There you go. See, I knew it was Team Hell No and somebody else. Team Hell No and Random Partner faced the Shield a million times.
Pretty much.
during that time period. Like, at some point, they had to beat them.
And then not too long after that, the Usos also defeated the Shield alongside Christian, of all people.
What a weird pairing that is.
I don't know how that happened, but it happened. The Shield was not prepared for the pairing of Christian and the Usos.
No, and the Shield actually lost on Battleground to the Rhodes family. I guess
that's
Dean
right.
Ambrose. So it wasn't a triple threat or a six-man tag. It was
It was a tag match.
Yeah.
Dusty did not wrestle. He did give him a bionic helmet.
That's true. The Rhodes family is fine. They were fine on that night anyway.
They sure were. How was Brandy doing?
I don't know what Brandy was up to. So Battleground ends with the Big Show standing tall. If you thought the Big Show standing tall in 2013 was bad, then, you know, get ready. Five more years of it. Raw the next night. That we still have no champion, and no one seems... Yeah, Abeyance is still the champion, undefeated as usual. Brian, Cody, and Goldust lose in the main event to the Shield. But the big story here is, of course, the Big Show, because he is the big story. He KO'd Triple H to end the show.
Yeah.
So after all of Brian getting held down by Triple H and Authority, the Big Show extracts the revenge.
Yes, and it was around this time, which you might be about to mention this at some point, and I might be crapping all over it, but it was around this point that I recall that WWE decided that Daniel Bryan was not over, but the Yes Chant was. So their bright idea was to have Big Show do the Yes Chant.
Yeah, that worked. Bryan wasn't on SmackDown. On Raw the next week, he faced Alberto Del Rio. Del Rio was the world champion at this time. They had two titles.
You mean the Intercontinental champion, pretty much.
Yeah. The world champion that never got mentioned. And Del Rio was just... He faced Rob Van Dam in the opener at Battleground. So that shows you where that title was.
You said they had too many titles then. I was looking at the WrestleMania card, and there's like 9 title matches.
Oh, for this year?
Yeah.
I give them credit that they're actually doing all title matches. You know, in past years, it'd be like, well, the Intercontinental Champion's just in the Battle Royal, or the U.S. title's not even on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
So at least all the title matches feel meaningful this year.
Well, let's not go that far.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Alberto Del Rio is the world champion, but no one really cares about that title. Brian
or
faces,
Del Rio, for that matter.
Yeah, that's equally true. Fucking Del Rio. He's feuding with Austin Aries over vegetarianism right now.
Yeah, actually, I like that promo they did where they're like backstage and
it
Del
was
Rio's trying
good.
To get the steak. It's pretty funny.
I didn't hate it, which is about the best I can say about anything involving
best
Alberto
about Del
Rio.
Or Aries or anybody involved there.
Yeah, I don't mind Aries. He's fine.
He's a pain in the ass.
I mean, I assume backstage and stuff he is, but I don't know. I've never had a problem with him on television.
Eh, I don't know. He has his good points and his bad points, like everybody.
Anyway, Brian loses this match by count out because Randy Orton appears on the Titantron. And he's threatening Brie Bella. And so Brian rushes backstage to save Brie and he ends up getting laid out by Randy Orton again.
You really don't want to leave Randy Orton backstage with your wife or fiance, that's for sure.
Brian should have gone to his house and seen the fake fiance they got for Randy Orton.
Which one? He's had a couple.
That was why do they involve women in these Randy Orton feuds?
It never goes well.
No.
It never goes well. That one time when CM Punk, remember when Punk attacked Randy Orton in front of one of those fiancés and or wives or whatever, man, she had a thing for Punk, you could tell.
Who excited. Wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
Who would? True, that's a fair point.
CM Punk seems like a lady killer during his time.
No doubt about that.
SmackDown, Brian, Big E, and the Rhodes family beat The Shield and Orton. So, big win for old Daniel Bryan. Heading into Hell in a Cell, where Shawn Michaels was appointed as the special guest referee here for just reasons.
Reasons, pretty much.
They didn't have...
Shawn had a connection to both sides, though. That's the whole deal is Shawn Michaels had a connection to authority, of course, because he and Triple H are old buddies. But he was also Daniel Bryan's trainer.
They didn't... I mean, that ended up being sort of the reason. But do you remember why Shawn Michaels was initially appointed the referee? Yeah.
I don't recall why exactly he was there.
Because Brad Maddox just said, we need a special guest referee. For no real reason. I guess because Scott Armstrong's incompetent and Triple H didn't want to work this pay-per-view. At least as a ref.
And the rest of the referees want nothing to do with it.
So it turned into a fan vote.
Ah, yeah.
Do you remember who Shawn Michaels was up against in this fan vote?
I remember Mr. Bob Backlund being a choice.
Mr. Bob Backlund was one of the other choices. Do you recall that's the only other one?
That's the only one I cared about. I won Mr. Bob Backlund.
Well, Bob Backlund did not win the vote.
No, he did not. Who was the other one?
And Shucky Ducky Quack Quack time, Booker T did not win the vote either. I can't believe that Shawn Michaels is able to defeat these two men in a fan vote.
How did they come up with those three options anyway?
They said, who is Michaels just going to slaughter in this voting and let's just go with these guys? I think Booker T had been part of like the kickoff panel and stuff, so he was around. And then Backlund, they just decided, well, we can get one crazy Bob Backlund promo out of this, so let's go with that.
That was an awesome promo. I remember that.
What two fucking guys you could pick to go against Shawn Michaels in this fan vote?
Well, I'm sure there's somebody out there who could beat Shawn Michaels in a fan vote.
I mean, maybe, but they made sure that it wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. They couldn't pick Justin Roberts.
Justin Roberts?
Yeah.
Dusty was hanging around. You could have had him.
Justin Roberts had the vendetta against Shawn Michaels,
Daniel Bryan. Yes.
Yeah. They couldn't have picked him.
Tygate.
Dusty was around. They could have gone there. Well, Shawn Michaels was the obvious choice. It would have been so great if Backlund had actually won the vote.
He might have actually won the vote. We'll never know.
No, there's no way he won the vote.
voted for him 10 times.
Shawn Michaels ends up being the special guest referee for this Hell in a Cell match. This is the big blow off for Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton, allegedly.
Now, you're going to have to remind me on this one because I don't remember 100% with certainty. Did he wear the shorts?
Of course he wore the shorts. He's Shawn Michaels in a referee's attire. Why wouldn't he wear the shorts?
Okay, just making sure. It's the awesome bicycle shorts.
So they have a good match. You know, Hell in a Cell in 2013, it's even worse than it is today. Although I do like the Usos and who was it?
New Day.
Yeah, Usos and New Day. I thought that was a great Hell in a Cell match the other last year, was it?
It would have been last year.
2 years ago? I thought that was a great match. Anyway, but this 2013 Hell in a Cell match, not good. Not good at all. Shawn Michaels didn't wear the shorts, by the way.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
I remember being disappointed they did.
The match wasn't all that great. You know, everyone was... When you put a special guest referee in there, everyone's just waiting for the referee to do something. And then, of course, Triple H comes out, and so you're worrying about him as well, doing stuff. Triple H comes out, and he complains to Shawn Michaels about slow counts. Shawn Michaels is old, man. Cut him some slack.
That's right.
And then so it turns into just a big argument between Hunter and Orton and Michaels. And Michaels shoves Hunter and is like, let me do my shit here. And Brian shoves Orton into Shawn. and Sean takes a bump that the man, I can't believe he took this bump off of a shove, but I guess he's old. He'd been out of the ring for a little while. He took the referee bump instead of the worker bump.
He's not an active wrestler anymore, of course.
No, he's not. Trainers come down to check on Shawn Michaels for some reason.
Man, he's old.
Man can survive a tombstone a couple years earlier, but can't survive getting shoved by Randy Orton.
When you're, it's like a switch flips when you go from an active wrestler to an inactive wrestler.
I guess so.
Retired wrestler, you just become a cripple.
I guess so. Brian hits the knee on Orton, but of course there's no referee. And then Triple H goes after Brian, and so Brian hits the knee on Hunter, and Sean sees this, and so he super kicks Brian, and then Orton makes the cover, and Brian counts the pinfall, and yeah, the overbooked finish killed the match, as you would expect.
Yeah, pretty much. At this point, I think we are all pretty tired of seeing Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton.
Well, too bad.
Yeah.
Actually, not too bad. This was the end. This
exactly.
was the end
That's
of the
saying.
Feud.
We're done with it because it's time to move on to Randy Orton Big Show.
Yeah. So Raw the next night, Shawn Michaels comes out and explains himself.
Doesn't really
apologize. He just says, yeah. No, you know, I saw you hit my buddy, so I decided to hit you. And that was pretty much that.
Look, I know you're not happy about what happened last night. And you have to understand, I didn't intend for that to happen. All right, the proof is in the pudding, okay? I called that match right down the middle. And then all hell broke loose, all right? And then I saw what you did at Triple H, and I know you're not gonna understand this, and I know they're not gonna understand. All right, but he is my best friend. I know you don't like him, I know they don't like him, but I don't care. Triple H is my best friend, and that is never, ever gonna change. Our friendship will always supersede everything that goes on in this line of work, period. And last night, he needed me to be there for him, and I was. Now, I'm not asking you to be okay with that or to even understand that. I'm just asking you to just accept my apology. Shake my hand. Look. Over 10 years ago, I taught you the basics, okay? I gave you a great foundation, but you built on it. You did unbelievably well. You took it farther than I ever possibly could have imagined, okay? But consider this. Last night, I took you to finishing school. I taught you the final lesson, your most valuable lesson. This is the WWE. You want to make it here? You learn this. Here, in this snake pit, you don't trust anybody. Not me, not that soon-to-be wife of yours, no one. Now, I'm giving you the chance. I am coming out here, humbling myself and being gracious enough to apologize to you. The least you could do is show me the respect I've earned and shake my hand. Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. For 7 months, I've been listening to people call you a B-plus player, and the whole time, I have stuck up for you, saying, no, he's an A-plus player. You want to know something? I quite honestly don't know. And once more, I don't care. What I do know is this. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be. For the love of God, I am Shawn Michaels. I'm giving you the chance on worldwide TV to shake my hand. Now do it!
And he finally stands tonight.
That is horrible.
On a guy who offered his hand to him out of respect and friendship.
I don't think you can blame
Daniel Bryan needs to leave and not come back. That is disgraceful. That is an embarrassment.
Everything Daniel Bryan's been through for the past 3 months, you knew the time was coming.
Shawn
knew he was
going to
snap. What do you mean Shawn didn't do it? He kicked his head off last night.
Shawn stuck up for it for 7 months and he explained why he did it.
Well, Watt says he did it one more time. He took the hand that Shawn Michaels offered. Unfortunately, he took Shawn Michaels down. And watch as Shawn Michaels actually taps here. Look at Shawn Michaels.
And in the most
Hall of Famer, tap it out.
And in the most important night of Daniel Bryan's career,
Shawn
Michaels stabbed him in the back. He kicked his head off and cost him the WWE
title. He stuck up for his best friend. I hope you're proud of yourself, Daniel Bryan.
I think he is.
Because you just put down a Hall of Famer, Mr. WrestleMania. The man who trained you and brought you into this business. That was an absolute disgrace.
And he wants to shake Brian's hand and says, you know, let's just put this behind us. And Brian puts him in the yes lock. And it looked like we were getting a big old build to Daniel Bryan against Shawn Michaels for WrestleMania.
No.
But plans changed. And then in a backstage segment, the Wyatts enter the fray. And they take out young Daniel Bryan here. And Bray says, the devil made me do it. We still don't know. I guess the devil is Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon, Triple H, the authority.
Sister Abigail.
Maybe Stephanie's Sister Abigail.
Maybe. No, Sister Abigail is Bray in drag with a voice-changing gimmick on his iPhone.
How do you know that's not going to be what he becomes when he comes out of the Lake of Reincarnation?
So that is the end of part one of the Daniel Bryan arc.
I know there's one part that you kind of glossed over of the part with Shawn Michaels. Because that is as close as we saw Shawn Michaels in like the whole period from his return. You know, he was a good guy like the whole time, right?
Yeah.
That was like except for like the Hulk Hogan angle. Other than that, the whole time Shawn Michaels is a good guy. And that was like the one time in the past however many years that Shawn Michaels was kind of a bad guy. He's talking down Brian like, listen, you piss ass, or something along those lines. It's great.
Yeah, it's set up a yes lock and then nothing else.
Yeah, nothing else. Yeah.
I remember everyone getting so excited after that segment and thinking we're 100% getting Brian and WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels. And it certainly looked that way. Like, off of that segment, you could have sold me that that's the direction they were heading him.
I
think Michaels actually came out like a month later and was like, nope, that was the blow off right there to try to just dispel.
I'm retired, guys.
Yeah, to try to just dispel any hope that people might have had of Bryan and Michaels at WrestleMania. He came out a month later and was like, no, that's the blow off, guys. I'm not wrestling. I admire Shawn Michaels for sticking to his guns and actually not wrestling after the Undertaker match.
How often is that? That like never happens, really.
I'm trying to think of another instance. Well, Ric Flair didn't wrestle in WWE again.
He wrestled in TNA.
Well, that barely counts.
I count it. It was glorious. I got to see him. I was at the lockdown they had in Cincinnati where Flair was a part of Immortal going against Fortune in the Lethal Lockdown gimmick they had. You know, a lot of good guys in that match. I don't know if the match wasn't particularly good itself, but a lot of good guys.
I assume had,
like, Styles was there, and
I assume like, Beer Sting Money. And Foley.
Sting was in a random ass match with RVD and Mr. Anderson.
Let me look up what lockdown was this. I want to see.
2010, I think. The one in Cincinnati, I think, is 2010 or 2011.
TNA.
It was lockdown. When Hogan was there, when Flair was there, and they're doing the Fortune and Immortal stuff.
TNA lockdown. No, this was in Missouri in 2010. That's a different one. Okay. So was it 2011? Maybe.
Might have been.
Yeah, 2011 was in U.S. Bank at Cincinnati. Yeah. The match, or the card for this, the poster features Ken Anderson, so you know it's a good card.
Oh, that's right.
Brother Devon beat Anaquaria.
Anarchia. Yeah, I couldn't tell you much about
the
it other than that.
Fuck is that?
He was a random member of Mexican America,
yeah,
not to be confused with LAX.
Yeah. All right, don't remember this person at all.
There's not much to remember.
That was on the pre-show, apparently. So
yes.
The opening match was Max Buck, which I was about to say. That's old Matt Jackson, isn't it?
Yeah.
Max Buck defeated Amazing Red, the Brian Kendrick, Chris Sabin, Jay Lethal, Jeremy Buck, Robbie E., and Suicide in an Escape the Cage match. Doesn't sound too bad outside of it went 13 minutes.
And being an Escape the Cage match.
Yeah. Inc., which is Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore.
Yeah.
Defeated the British Invasion.
Which is Doug Williams and Rob Terry, I believe, or British
Magnus. Magnus.
Yes.
Crimson and Scott Steiner.
Steiner was over.
And Eric Young and Orlando Jordan. What a hodgepodge of people that is.
That's something. It was a mess.
Mickey James beat Madison Rain in 36 seconds. That sounds fun.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing. I was a big fan of Coach. What can I say?
Yeah, you just wanted him out there for longer. The match would have sucked, but
pretty much, yeah.
Samoa Joe defeated the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro.
Yeah.
Matt Morgan defeated Hernandez. I assume they were just pushing Matt Morgan to the moon here.
They were trying.
Jeff Jarrett defeated Kurt Angle in an ultra male rules 2 out of 3
falls
steel cage. So it was submission, pinfall, and then escape the cage.
Classic overbook Jarrett stuff is great.
I'm going to beat you so bad you submit, and then I'm going to beat you so bad that I can pin you, and then I'm going to run away from you.
Pretty much, yeah. Angle did moonsault off the cage is great.
They should have. Of course he did. They should have done the first fall was enter the cage. And then the second fall.
You mean like the reverse battle royal where they had to fight over getting into the ring?
Yeah. Yeah. Sting defeated Anderson and Van Damme in a triple threat match for the heavyweight title.
Yeah.
The fuck was Anderson doing wrestling for the title?
Well, you got me. He was on the poster. Come on.
Fortune, which was Daniel, Storm, Kazarian, and Rude, defeated Immortal.
Oh, yeah. Styles is injured at that point, I think. Styles is hanging around ringside.
They defeated Immortal, which was Abyss, Bully Ray, Matt Hardy, and Ric Flair. What a team that is.
Seriously.
What a
random team.
Abyss is still in TNA. I just saw his return the other week.
Abyss is still in TNA.
Bully Ray now runs ROH. Matt Hardy pre-broken. And Ric Flair is, I guess, retired, but maybe
I
want
to say that Matt was like ice cold or something at that point.
Ice cold Matt Hardy?
He was doing some dumbass. This is like after, you know, after he like when he is actually broken, when he's all messed up on drugs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like he was coming back from that.
This sounds amazing. Ice cold. Dean Malenko, the Iceman, Matt Hardy. Oh, yeah. I see his shirt. It says cold blooded or something.
Cold blood.
Matt Hardy.
Boy, that put butts in the seats.
What a time in TNA this sounds like it was. I clearly was not watching at this time.
I also remember they also had a promo segment with Hogan and Bischoff and Flair over nothing, really.
I remember
just talking.
I remember tuning into the relaunch of the Monday Night Wars, that episode of TNA.
That was great. It was a wonderful train wreck. Nonsense.
We should review that show one day.
There might be something like the arc of Hogan and Bischoff TNA.
Just the arc of the new Monday Night Wars. It only lasted what, like a month? If that.
It lasted about a month where TNA like gave up.
I think we should do that. We should do that after WrestleMania.
Arc of the TNA Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's do something that's non WWE WCW. I guess this might
watch it online somewhere.
WCW. You gotta get the Go Fight Wrestling Network, whatever the fuck it's called.
The Go Fight Live.
What are the Global Force Wrestling Network? What's it called?
It's like something like that. If it's like $9.99, I'd probably buy it for a month.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get a free month out of it. Watch the arc of the Monday Night Wars. You got to watch the Raw episodes too. See what they were up against.
There we go. But before that, we got to wrap up Daniel Bryan getting to WrestleMania. He didn't look like he was heading to WrestleMania at that point. We got to start the Wyatt stuff next. Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. So next time we have the Wyatt feud and another concussion the Royal Rumble leading into. Where it looked like Brian was just going to do nothing for WrestleMania.
He's going to wrestle Sheamus. That was the big rumor.
That was the plan. And then he was saved by CM Punk.
And Batista not being over.
We'll talk about that next week on which one had more to do with it.
Yeah.
But for the first arc of Daniel Bryan, what did you make of this storyline where he won the title and he got the big celebration, and then he was just treated almost as an afterthought in this feud.
I mean, as annoying as it was seeing Bryan get screwed over and over, it's a good start to the story. I mean, you want Bryan to be fighting against the odds. It's kind of part of what still makes him the figure that he is today, as popular as he is with the fans, because he's the guy who rose up against the authority and getting screwed over is part of that. So they got the story off to a good start, and yeah, they ran into some hiccups along the way, which seems to be a trend for pretty much all these stories, that they get off to a good start and then they kind of run out of things to do. When you have like 8 hours of television a week, I guess that happens sometimes.
I think this story just went maybe a month too long. Did you really need to do the Big Show match where he comes out and KOs both guys?
No.
Like, you either cut the fast finish at Night of Champions. You either cut that match or you cut the Battleground match where he does the whole double knockout thing. But I guess then you can't do Hell in a Cell, even though Hell in a Cell was meaningless and really added nothing to the match, because the whole point is to keep people out and Triple H comes in and, you know, trainers come in. The Big Show's insertion here was just, I don't know. This story definitely dragged.
Yeah.
It felt like
for Big Show.
No, it felt like they had nothing to do. But then John Cena returned at Hell in a Cell. And then that's when they were like, all right, we got our superstar back. You're done, Daniel Bryan. Can't imagine if John Cena was actually out 6 months, how this would have kept going.
Did we, and I'm showing how great I am at this, did we cover the pay-per-view where Cena and Orton was the main event?
No, we have not gotten there yet.
Okay, so that's next time. Okay, yeah, that's good.
That's the next pay per view because that's the big segment where the championship celebration.
The WWE Championship Ascension or whatever the hell they're calling it.
Yeah, because they unify the titles at tables, ladders, and chairs
with 3 weeks of build.
Yeah, that's the next arc where Brian is still kind of wrestling with the Wyatt family, but really doing nothing.
There we go.
All right, everybody. So we will be back next week. A big episode next week. It might be as long as WrestleMania itself.
It might be.
It won't be.
No, it can't be that long.
No, we will talk. We will talk about Daniel Bryan's journey to WrestleMania 30 in part two of the Daniel Bryan story. And we will preview WrestleMania 34. It all makes sense because they're both in New Orleans. And I was at one of them because that's another theme on this show. We review arcs that I participate in.
There's also Daniel Bryan involved with McMahon coming up here in a little bit.
Yeah,
Shane McMahon is tough and Brock Lesnar.
He's sort of fighting a McMahon. He's been fighting McMahon, and then they're just like, we're friends again, I guess.
For now.
Brian was so over this story a month ago. You could just tell on the look of his face. He wanted nothing to do with this bullshit anymore.
But man, the people, now that he's back and now he's ready to wrestle again, people care now.
Well, of course.
Now that he can wrestle, we're all excited. Like, hey, yeah, let's get with this now.
He's the biggest baby face in the company, and they're going to have him face Dolph Ziggler for the rest of the year. Get excited.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at JeremyLambert88. You can follow Steve Cook on Twitter at SteveCook84. Check out thechairshot.com. Use your head. For more great wrestling coverage, a whole bevy of podcasts on the chairshot.com podcast network. Steve Cook, what have you been cooking up this week?
Oh, 411mania.com. Just finished a column for them about Rusev. I like writing Rusev columns. Those are always fun.
You just write Rusev Day, like, after every paragraph?
Pretty much. I write about Rusev all the time.
I would just pad my word count by doing that. Yeah, just write a paragraph, write Rusev Day.
I don't know what it is about me and Rusev. Maybe because we root for the same hockey team. I don't know. But I don't know. It's just a connection there of me and Rusev and Lana and all that stuff going on there. TheChairShot.com had some stuff there. The top five options for Braun Strowman's tag team partner. The column I'll be working on there pretty shortly about something. I haven't decided yet.
About something.
About something.
It's always good.
It'll be good. I promise.
Can I give you an idea?
You can give me an idea.
You're doing top five stuff, right?
Probably. I can do top five. I can do an opinion. Either one.
Should do something on top five. I don't know. I don't have anything.
Wow. And then, of course, we got to plug Predlines.com because we got the playoffs coming up. We know the Nashville Predators are involved. We know that the Colorado Avalanche might be involved.
Not involved.
Might be.
There's no chance.
Aren't they still in a spot right
nope.
now?
Nope. Nope.
No, they got knocked out?
Yep. St. Louis keeps on winning.
Everybody's within 1 point or 2 points or something.
St. Louis is going to do that thing they do where they get red hot going into the playoffs and then they lose in the first round.
Yeah, they seem to like to do that. They
give their fans hope. I'm cheering so hard for St. Louis to give their fans hope again, just to fail in spectacular fashion.
Well, that's because you want a draft pick there because... To be honest, the Avalanche have three good offensive players. Three really good offensive players, but I'll give them credit. They got a top line that's among the best in the league. But once you get past that, there's some difficulty.
We have a really good top line, and then a bunch of young guys who aren't quite ready, a defense that's not very good, and an inconsistent goaltender. That's just good enough to maybe get you a home game in the playoffs. I'd much rather have a lottery pick.
There you have it.
I'm the type of person, I'm boom or bust. I mean, I either want the cup or I want the first overall pick.
Well, you're not getting either.
No, I know that. We deserve the first overall pick after getting screwed last year.
Well, I think Edmonton's lined themselves up for that first pick this year, I think.
I swear to God, if Edmonton wins this lottery, I'm never watching hockey again. I'm giving up on hockey.
They're lining themselves up for it. I saw part of the game earlier where they were up 3-0 on the Blue Jackets and lost 7-3, I think. Pretty good.
That team is so terrible, and they mismanaged every top pick. They gave away
over 100 points.
They gave away Taylor Hall for nothing. Taylor Hall might win the MVP this year, and they gave him away for a mediocre blue liner.
And they have the best player in the game, and they're completely wasting his career.
If they win Rasmus Dahlin for sucking and waste, and they're going to get Dahlin, and then they're going to end up trading Hopkins, or they're going to trade McDavid in 5 years because they have no clue what they're doing. Stupid franchise that deserves
David
nothing
Poyle
good.
David Poyle needs to get in on that. I'm saying that, I'm telling you.
He will probably swindle them out of Connor McDavid. He'll give
if
up.
If not, he'll get somebody. He'll probably. If not, he'll get somebody else out of the deal.
He'll give up Martin Erat again and get Connor McDavid for him.
There you go.
All right. So thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back next week with the end of the Daniel Bryan story and our big WrestleMania 34 preview.